We'll be starting in Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. We just went through Genesis 14. We learned of Melchizedek revealing El Elyon to Abraham. And now we're getting into God renewing that covenant with Abraham that he made with him. And so we're looking at this, God renewing his covenant, and that's when he appears to Abraham as El Shaddai, or God Almighty, also seen as Almighty. So when you see Almighty, Almighty God, or God Almighty in the scriptures, that is El Shaddai. I did want to mention before we get started, though, I did order the polo shirts. I just got a proof copy right before the service, and they forgot the T at the end of Baptist, so I had to send them and ask them to fix that before actually putting that into production. But so I'm glad I caught it. I almost missed it, and I was like, "Wait, there's a T missing." So we caught that, and so we got that. Got that right there, and I double-checked the rest of it just to be safe, triple-checked, and made sure. So those will be being put in production soon and on their way, and I'm excited to see how they turn out. They will be embroidered, so they should last a while, as opposed to just being vinyl or printed on. So I'm looking forward to that. So we're in Genesis 17. We're just going to read the first... We'll read the first four verses here. It says in verse number one, "And when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face. And God talked with him, saying, As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations." And actually, let's move on to verse number 5 here. It says, "Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee and thy seed after thee in their generations forever for an everlasting covenant." That right there is just proof that it's not that the church does not replace Israel. Yes, we are all made, we're grafted in as children of Abraham, but it's an everlasting covenant with Abraham's seed. Denounce the fact that the church replaces Israel. But we see it says to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. And people will judge because seed is singular that's just talking about Jesus. He says to be a God unto thee and to thy seed. And we know that God is not, we know that Jesus is equal with God and God is not a God of Jesus. Verse number 8 says, "And I will give unto thee and to thy seed after thee in land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan for an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man child among you shall be circumcised." And then we go down to verse 15. It says, "And God said unto Abraham, As for Sarai, thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give thee a son also of her. Yea, I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be of her." So we see that not only did he give the covenant to Abraham, but he made a covenant with Sarah as well, that she would be the one to bring forth the seed. And we'll kind of get into that in a little bit. But some questions we'll answer in this lesson on El Shaddai And I'm predicting this one to be about 5 weeks or so. I was going to do a shortened one, but then really there's so much to unpack in El Shaddai, and there's so many different beliefs on what Shaddai might mean. And so I want to kind of touch on each one of those and then come to a conclusion of what I, kind of where I land. But I think that most of the church would be in agreement on where the conclusion I came to. But I do think that it's good to look at all aspects of this name and what people believe. And I believe it kind of ties us, it all ties into one aspect of it, and we'll get to that. But some questions we'll answer here is, one, what does El Shaddai mean? Number two will be, why did he appear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as El Shaddai? And then eventually appear to Moses as something else. And then what can you and I take away from knowing this name? What can we take away? Oftentimes people have two extreme views of God. There's either God is only love. God wouldn't judge me. He's a loving God. You hear the world say, only God can judge me, or only, you know, they say, well, God is love, and he wouldn't judge us. Jesus never judged anyone, and that's a lie straight out of hell. But they said Jesus never judged anyone. God is love. Or there's the other extreme, that God is only righteous, that he's only there to judge people. And there's certain Christians that even I know that almost look forward to God's judgment on the world. They're almost excited to see the Lord return and bring his judgment, because the world's so wicked, instead of just trying to draw them in and praying for them. So they view God as only righteous, and God is just there to judge the world. But El Shaddai brings into perspective the middle ground, that God is just. God is just. Yes, he's righteous, but he's also not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And really the best way to explain this is from an excerpt of a book that I read, The Names of God. It says, both saints and sinners err in their view of God, through one-sided views of truth. On the one hand, careless souls with their vague hope of some future salvation, on the ground that God is merciful and can never leave us nor forsake us, shut their eyes to the no less certain fact that he is righteous and must judge evil. On the other, those who have learned that God is righteous and that his will is crossed by sin, which he must judge, conclude that because it is now crossed, it will be crossed forever, and only look for the judgment of God on the wicked. The reality is, because God is righteous, though he desires to save all, he, to the grieving of his spirit, must forever lose a portion of his creatures. He's grieved over the loss of a soul. But he knows that those souls that reject him, those souls that never make things right, that never find the peace of Jesus Christ between God, a righteous God and a sinful man, he knows that to the grieving of his spirit, he will never get those souls back. God is all-knowing. He has the foresight that he is not going to get every soul back to him. And that grieves his spirit. But he's righteous, and so he desires to save all, but he knows that he's going to have to judge some, because he's just. El Shaddai will bring this into perspective. El Shaddai is often seen as Almighty, or God Almighty, as we talked about. It's found frequently throughout the Old Testament. It's especially seen in Genesis and Job. And we'll get into both of those in a little bit, but it's also seen in other portions, but those are the places where it's seen most in the Old Testament. El Shaddai was first used in the book of Genesis when God appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So let's look at some key biblical encounters. We discover El Shaddai throughout the years of the patriarchs of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But we see this name for God in Genesis 17:1, which is our text here. When it says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. So that is El Shaddai. But we also see it in Genesis 28:3 and Genesis 35:11. When Jacob, if we look there, let's turn there real quick. Genesis 28, verse number 3. And it says, and God Almighty bless thee and make thee fruitful and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people. So we see at this time, God is talking to, or Isaac is talking to Jacob. And he's saying, you know, it's going to be you that the tribes of Israel are going to come out of. And he says, God Almighty is going to bless thee. Well, and then we see it in Genesis 35. And it says, and God said unto him, I am God Almighty, be fruitful and multiply. A nation and a company of nations shall be of thee, and kings shall come out of thy loins. So that's God speaking to Jacob now, giving him the same promise that he heard from Isaac. And so we see that in both these areas, and there's other areas in Genesis as well, that God appears unto them as El Shaddai, Almighty God. Jacob asked God Almighty for mercy for his sons concerning their brother Joseph when they were going, and he later described to Joseph how the Almighty appeared to him at Luz. Jacob asked when they were getting ready to go see Joseph, and he feared for his youngest son's life before he knew that Joseph was in Egypt. He prayed to El Shaddai, God Almighty, and then. And I'll try and slow down a little bit. I realize I'm talking a little fast here. I'm excited. This was a neat study to get into. So God told Moses of his encounters with Abraham and Jacob as God Almighty. And he added the new name in Exodus 6, which a lot of the Israelites, and it's not new to us, but if you look in Genesis 3 and Genesis 6, Genesis 3, he gives him tells Moses that I am the I am. But he says in Exodus 6, he says, I am the Lord. So we saw earlier in Genesis, the Lord as Jehovah or Yahweh. But this was the first time that he introduced himself as Jehovah, as the Lord, to somebody in speaking to them. So, and we'll look at that in a moment. So although the surrounding nations had many gods, the Hebrews had one God, and that was the Almighty God. And we know that this is the same God that Yahweh revealed himself to Moses in Exodus 3, because he tells us that in Exodus chapter 6. Exodus chapter 6 and verse number 2. Whoops, went too far back there. Exodus chapter 6 and verse number 2, it says, and God spake unto Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. Okay, so now we have him introducing himself to somebody as he speaks to him as the Lord, as Jehovah. And it says, and I appeared unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God Almighty. But my name, Jehovah, was I not known to them. So we see Lord Jehovah, Jehovah Yahweh. He introduces himself as Yahweh, as Jehovah to Moses. And he says, this is the same God that appeared unto Isaac and unto Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. I'm the same God that your patriarchs and your forefathers had. He said, but I appeared unto them as God Almighty, and they didn't know me as Yahweh. That's a name that I'm revealing to you now. So we see how that it's the same God. It's one God. And that's just proof right there that all these names you've been studying all points to one God. It's not several gods. It's one God. God Almighty is the same as Jehovah. So the first question we ask that we said we're going to answer is, what does El Shaddai mean? What does El Shaddai mean? There is a considerable debate surrounding this name. It was kind of, I was supposed to do this one before. I was planning to do this one before El Elyon, but I pushed it back because I had to do a little more research on it because there was so many different aspects of it, and I decided, you know what, we're just going to explore all of them, and then I came to a conclusion on where I stand on it. But there's a lot of debate surrounding the name Shaddai, and I believe the various possibilities are really shades of the meaning that gives us a greater understanding of who God is and what he does. Just as we're looking at all the names of God as a big picture of who God is, I think that all these names that we see in El Shaddai tie into one picture here. And so the first one we see, the most common one interprets Shaddai today as mighty, and El Shaddai would translate to God Almighty. So that's the most common interpretation of Shaddai, is mighty. And that's what you see when you see it in the Bible. You see God Almighty, you see Almighty, or Almighty God. You'll see that when you see El Shaddai. And those are the Greek words. That's how it was translated into the King James, into the English, was Almighty. So we've looked at different ways. We recognize the different lords, Adonai and Jehovah. And we even recognize where it's even Adonai Jehovah, where God is all capitalized. So the way you recognize El Shaddai is wherever it says Almighty, and with a capital A, so we know it's talking about God. The most common is mighty, and coinciding with this, excuse me. Coinciding with this, one suggested root for El Shaddai is the overpowerer, meaning God will do what he purposes to do, overpowering all oppositions. God's sovereign will is going to happen no matter what. And sometimes I believe that trials are put into our lives to, and really if we even look at how we came together as a church and a pastor, God closed the doors on what we thought would have been his will, but it wasn't. I was exploring different assistant pastoral positions, and I know you guys had several candidates, and God closed that door. And I believe in light of El Shaddai, he was making sure that his purpose was accomplished. And so I truly believe that. And I think that eventually God's sovereign will is going to come to place. I went through some trial to get to where I am now. And I had talked to Pastor Stauffaker not too long ago, a few months ago. And I said, there's some days where I just wish I never would have left Berea. And I had a good there, and I was burning the candle at both ends and got a little discouraged. And I said, I probably wasn't in the right state of mind to make some decisions. And he said, well, if you never would have left, you never would have went through what you went through in Florida, you wouldn't be where you are now. And he said, and I know you're where God wants you to be. There's times where I wish I wouldn't have went through the heartache, but he's right. I think that God had better plans, and God used Florida and things to get me here today. And I believe that was El Shaddai. So El means God, and Shaddai is often linked to the Hebrew root word Shaddad, or Shaddad, meaning to overpower or strength. So it's got two different means: overpower, it means strength. This signifies God's absolute sufficient power to accomplish his will and his purpose. He is sufficient. His power is sufficient. So we see El Shaddai as the overcomer. So his absolute sufficient power to accomplish his purpose. We see El Shaddai as the overcomer. God is the one who overcomes. We know that he's the one that overcame death. He overcomes. He overcame the grave, and he overcame hell, and he also overcomes our battles for us. He's the one that fights our battles, and so often in life we feel that we are being overcome by the world and things. and how many sins we battle on a day-to-day basis, and we constantly are failing El Shaddai, but he's faithful. We're constantly struggling, and so often we may feel like giving up, but then Jesus says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And so he's the overcomer. Be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He's already overcome it for us, and and invites us to join in the victory. The cross, with all of its scorn and all of its shame, was the very place of victory for God. It may have looked like the world had overcome him, and he was dying, he was weak, he was humiliated, but actually it was God's sovereign plan that Jesus would go to the cross to die in our place for our sins and to be raised to life again. In the children's book that I put out, there was one part that says many didn't think he was God's only son, so they sought to kill him, claiming to be God when he's only a man, not knowing that they were doing God's very plan. And that's what it was. And God knew that it would take Judas to betray him. That was God's sovereign will. God knew what time he would be offered up. And Jesus knew, and he said, my time has not yet come. And when it came, he said, we're going to go, and I'm going to be offered up. And 3 days later, I'll rise again. And he seemed to make it plain. When we read the scriptures, he seems to make it plain. You know, I'm going to die. The Son of God's going to die. I'm going to be raised up again in 3 days. And then it says that the disciples didn't understand what he was saying, but it seemed plain to us. And they knew that he was going to. Even his mother knew since his birth what his purpose was. And she didn't seem to fully understand. Still went to the grave looking for him on that third day. And so it's just, it's interesting. I believe that God purposely, for teaching moments, closed their eyes to some things and didn't reveal it to them. But it was all God's sovereign will. Even Jesus said, if there be any other way, let this cup pass. Nevertheless, thy will be done. And so we see that though they saw it, they thought they had overcome him, he was about to overcome death and hell and the grave. And when things looked their worst, God was overcoming the world. So if we belong to Jesus, then we belong to the overcomer, which means we will never be overcome. We will never be overthrown. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have a promise that we will never be overcome, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. We have the overcomer to fight our battles. In Jesus, we have one who has overcome the world on our behalf. So what is it in your life that you feel is overcoming you? What's the battle that you're facing right now? And no matter what it is, take shelter in El Shaddai, the Almighty One who overcomes. This may explain the use of the name El Shaddai in Isaiah and Joel's prophets about the great and terrible day of Yahweh. Isaiah 13:6 says, howl ye, for the day of the Lord is at hand. It shall come as a destruction from the Almighty. Joel 1:15 says, alas, for the day of the Lord is at hand, and as a destruction from the Almighty shall it come. And so we see that he's the overcomer, and that he's going to overcome evil one day. Eventually, Satan's going to be bound. he's going to be bound for all eternity, and he's going to be cast into hell for all eternity. God will officially have overcome the world. He's already got the keys for death and hell, but eventually he's going to triumph over all the world. He's going to reign, and we are invited to join him in that reign. So we see that him as the overcomer. Next, I don't think I got a ton on this one, so yeah, we'll probably end with this one. Next, we see El Shaddai. El Shaddai is also connected to the root word, shad, which means breast. And this depicts God as a tender nurturer who provides for and comforts and sustains his children. This one is a little less common, but I think that it will show. I think there's a lot we can learn from this translation of Shaddai. But this describes the all-sufficiency of God as the life giver, the provider. This is especially evident in context with the promise that he made Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to bring forth a nation of Israel. A lot of people believe that it represents a God of fertility, a God of a God that promises to sustain us and to make us fruitful. I kind of look at it as a different angle. I believe that it coincides with the root word that many interpret as God who pours forth. Shaddai can be likened to the nourishing relationship of a mother that a mother has with her infant child, and it signifies one who nurtures and satisfies. I think of Psalm 23 when it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." His provision is all sufficient. His provision is enough. And so God pours out his provision. God pours out his provision because he is almighty and his provisions are sufficient. We see that in this that he pours forth his blessings. He also pours forth his judgments because he is almighty. He is just. So we see that from the same God pours forth judgments and blessings depending upon his children. So, you know what, I'm going to finish up this last one. The last one is another possible meaning of El Shaddai is the God of the mountain. Some teachers say that Shaddai comes from the Akkadian word Shadu, meaning mountain. God lives in heaven, but he also showed himself in the mountaintops. Mount Sinai, the mountain in the Mount of Transfiguration, and he even sent fire down on Mount Carmel. It was on Mount Sinai that Moses met with God and received the Ten Commandments. And the God of the mountain expected obedience to his commands and swiftly and powerfully took action against those who rebelled and ignored his will. The God of the mountain, once they realized that he had come down with the Ten Commandments and he broke them, and he knew that they knew when Moses lingered and they built the calf, and they knew when he came down with the Ten Commandments and broke those tablets, they realized that he was meeting with God. And it was a reminder to the Israelites of the God that brought them out of Egypt. It was a reminder to the Israelites of the God who was in control and who has been sufficient to meet their needs as the nourisher. And they saw him in the mountain. God of the mountain was the God whose words could not be ignored, for they were sufficient. And so we see one common denominator that we'll kind of get into next week. And really, the more of the translation of the etymology that I adhere to for El Shaddai, and it's one of the reasons I'm so excited for this lesson, and that is sufficient. He's sufficient, and so his power is all sufficient. His provision, his nourishment for us is all sufficient, and his words are sufficient. And so we'll get into that next week, and we've already gone this. I think this is my fastest introduction since I've started this series. We're already getting into who he is next week. But we'll be looking at him being the all-sufficient one next week. So,